Welcome to another edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. We are fired up this week, Bubba. Now, look, we have some pretty serious topics here, and sometimes, we'll be a little lighthearted, but today we get to talk about fishing, buddy.
So it is serious business.
Serious business. We're talking about fishing, and we're sitting here with Dustin Connell. Dustin, I mean, there is a trophy in here right now because he's the champion of Red Crest. He won it in 2021 and just won it again in 2024. The Red Crest champion. And let me tell you, Dustin, you were carrying that trophy. That's a heavy trophy.
It is. I need to go get a steroid shot on my back. I'm holding it up.
That thing is.
You need some hand trucks. Man, that is a load.
That really is. Major League Fishing. Red Crest is, your stomping grounds, you know. And is that really an advantage, though, when it comes to how good everybody can fish on this tour?
Well, I was really fortunate. You know, this tournament was on Lay Lake, which I grew up in Clanton, Alabama,
and it was like your home lake, right? Mm-hmm.
It was, but it was a really weird deal because I've never had a big tournament there like that. You know, I've always fished Tuesday nighters there and Thursday nighters, you know, showing up, and so that tournament showed up when they put that on schedule. I was like, oh boy, you know, I was excited, and it turned out great.
Well, go ahead,
Dustin. Buddy. I'm just looking at your career stats so far: 6 career wins. Mm. 26 top 10 finishes, 35 top 20 appearances. You've had 5 appearances in the Red Crest, and total winnings, $1.7 million for fishing.
Mm-mm-mm.
Congratulations. What a great country we live in, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
I'm telling you. So when you let's talk.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll talk Red Crest and work our way out, and we'll get into more of your story, but since that's new. So you won it in 2021. Okay.
Right.
And then you come back in 2024. So when you do, is anything that you learned from 2021, do you apply that strategy again, or is the behavior of fish and what's going on with the water and what the weather is, and there's just so many factors, it's like starting new every time?
So I've learned this about fishing. Like, I would say 70% of it, in my mind, is mental. It really is, you know. And a lot of people are like, oh man, I got lucky and caught a big one today. But in our events, they're 5-6 days long, you know. So I'm sitting there trying to stay in the game mentally and understand what the fish are doing for a whole week.
And that takes time.
It does. And
research,
then being able to move around and just, you know, I've always said this also mechanically, you know, a ton of people can cast. You know, I mean, there's high school kids out here that are on fishing teams,
yeah,
that can skip jigs under docks. They know how to throw a jerkbait. They know everything about anything mechanical-wise. But staying right there mentally and just having confidence when you're on the water, making moves like, hey, man, they're over here on this grass patch. You know, the wind's blowing this way. So just making moves is really what's helped me out over the past few years, staying mentally strong and then just having confidence. That's it. After you win one, that's your hardest one to win. And then after that, it's like, okay, I can do this.
You figured it out.
So, Dustin, do we want to go back and kind of look at Dustin's career, how he got to this point?
Yeah.
So, did you fish in high school?
So, they didn't have high school fishing,
right,
when I graduated.
Because that's a fairly new thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they started it, you know, right after I graduated. I graduated in 08 from Chilton County. And they didn't have high school fishing. Like, fishing wasn't cool.
Like, you, well, that's changed. Yes.
And wait a minute, in Clanton,
it wasn't that cool.
Hey, when I was in school, it was cool.
It wasn't cool.
You do know of Gary Vines?
Oh, sure. You know Gary. I mean, you don't come from that area, not know Gary.
I know it.
Hey, tell Dustin I taught him everything that he knows.
You sound just like him.
Yeah. I mean, you
did pick up the sport in college and actually fish for the University of Alabama.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I played baseball in high school and I fished, and then I went to University of Alabama, and I went there with the bright idea I was going to go into electrical engineering.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I go there.
Ohm's law. Yeah,
yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, there you go. So I fished, you know, pretty exclusively a lot, and a big pivotal day was I had a programming test. I was in my programming class, and the first test in that class, they had it on a Monday morning. Well, it was a weekend. I had a tournament, and I had to go practice on Friday, and I had a tournament Saturday. Well, I walked in there and I forgot I had a test on Monday.
Hello, test.
When I wasn't the only one.
Like, have y'all ever seen, like, and when you
I still have nightmares about that, by the way. Sitting down in a class and I don't even know who these people are. Why am I taking a test?
Hey, in a programming test, though, if you don't know programming, you don't make a F.
It's over.
You make a zero.
It's over.
Like, I made a legit zero. I signed my name and I didn't know nothing. I said, I'm changing my major. So I went into business, and then I stayed on the fishing team there for 4 years, and I graduated.
So
when you say programming, was it computer programming?
Oh, my goodness. Picture walking in on Monday, and you're not ready. Now, but see, you think about business. Think about business. Mm-hmm. So now you're in professional fishing, which is
business.
A business.
It is.
I mean, we even did it to you when you were on the big show during the week. You know, everybody wants to be able to do what they love for a living, and we certainly do. I love what we do for a living. But there is business you need to know if you want to survive. So has that helped you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, my major was in marketing, which I know y'all know everything in the world about that.
It's everything.
It's not an exact science, that's for sure.
You have a much easier product to market than we were given. But no, you have to. You got to market yourself. You got to, when the sponsors write checks, they expect you to actually do something to try to move their products. And, you know, it all works together.
It does.
And as we have learned, you know, when those people that write the checks, if they ain't happy, nobody's happy.
That's it.
You know, and so you got to be able to do the job well and know how to market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it.
Yeah, and after I changed my major into marketing, that kind of put me on a fast track. I had already taken all my basics and all that, so I said, well, I can cut a year out of this college stuff and get ready to go fishing. So then after that, you know, fast track right at when I graduated, I had this big dream. Hey, let's go pro fishing. Let's go do this. Wah, wah, wah.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
Bad.
Like, well, when I say it was bad, it was like it cost a lot to get out here and go
travel. So you didn't think about all that, did you?
No, it was like, hey, let's go pro fishing. Well, fast forward to 2014. Now, I graduated college in 2012. 2014, when I tell you I went completely broke.
Ooh.
Let's come back and pick it up there. Is it break time, Rick?
Not quite yet.
Well, I saw you grabbing the knob.
Well, let me tell you what I was going to do is this.
Yeah. So it costs a lot of money to try to get into professional fishing, and you try that and you literally go bankrupt. You're broke. You're out of money.
Hey, I got no money.
None. I couldn't even pay entry fees. So I was so broke, I had to go.
How broke were you?
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't pay attention.
Yeah, I couldn't pay attention. So I went. I couldn't pay my boat payments. It was really, really bad. I went and got a job, like a little 9-to-5 job. I went and got an academy job. I worked at academy for a little bit, just trying to float some payments, you know, and get me by. And then after that, I went and worked construction. Now, I got a college degree. I couldn't find a job. Everything in business was all, you know, taken up and commission paid. So then I went and worked construction in North Carolina. And I stayed up there for a year working that. And put on a hard hat and worked up there with a guy named Danny Stevens, Capstone Building Corporation. Mm. So then I saved up some money and I said, all right, we're pushing all the chips in again. It's like at a blackjack table.
Mm-hmm.
And that normally don't pan out good.
No. No.
All in.
Yeah, I was all in again.
That's usually a disaster.
So it was either I was going to be dumb or smart. So here we go again. And then after that, it kind of started clicking.
When did you say
you do good in that tournament?
Yeah, I was going to say, when did you go, I think I can do this time? It looks like it's going
to
work this
time. So I put all them chips back in. I saved up some money to pay for an entry fee in the Bass Opens. It was on the Alabama River. And I got in the tournament. I paid my money. I'm like, here we go. This is a gut check right here. Let's do it. I ended up winning that tournament. I won $50,000.
And then that was the seed money you needed to continue.
You
hung the hard hat up.
That was it. And I said, I hope, good Lord willing, I never had to pick this up again. And I keep things relative. That was a great learning experience for me, and I enjoyed it.
We didn't have documentation. Well, yeah, I guess you did then in 2012. Did you take a picture of that check and hang on to it forever? Because I know you couldn't You know, like I
have. Or you just in that tournament where it was all or nothing?
Yeah, because you know I have a son that you know went out and started his own business, and he still has on the wall
right. The
first dime that was ever paid to him for doing what he's doing. I know you needed it, so you didn't certainly frame it and put it up. You used it, but did you take a picture of it?
I did. Okay. I have the trophy and all that, and then I look back, and I actually had the spinnerbait hanging on the trophy that I won it with.
Oh, yeah, man.
That was the moment for me. You know, that was that one good break.
Can I ask what much did the government takes on that? I hate to ask that.
No, a lot.
Yeah, they hit you hard.
Yeah, I mean, I get 1099. It's 30%.
Hey,
that's just. You know, you're probably closer to half when state and everything's figured.
This was 300 grand, so 30% is.
So the government wins every tournament.
They win.
Oh, yeah, they win every time you write a check.
They win everything.
So how much was the entry fee on that tournament
that
was make or break?
That's a good question.
I think it was $2,800, $3,000.
Which is a lot if you don't have any.
I'm thinking about it. I literally had like $5,000 in my bank account.
So that was from doing the construction in North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I was staying up there, and I mean, I had all these other bills I had coming in, boat payments and insurances and all that. I mean, so it was a lot.
So it's just like anything when you're doing something professionally, one of the things that you got to have is sponsors. Mm-hmm. You know, like you know, they talk about how much it costs a NASCAR to keep a car on the track.
Yeah.
So we'll come back and we'll jump more into some of those things and kind of. You got your first tournament win. You got $50,000. The government took 30%. So now what you have left, you're now moving on to the next phase of your career as a professional fisherman. And we'll come back and we'll continue our conversation with Dustin Connell in the Rick and Bubba Show, Rick and Bubba Podcast, Rick and Bubba University Podcast.
All of those things will be back.
All those things, speaking of marketing, the Rick and Bubba University Podcast continues right after this. Rick and Bubba.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba.
Dustin Connell is our guest on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. So he's won his first tournament, and now he's off and running.
Rick, I think one of the important things that I hope people draw out of this, so many times, Dustin, and we've run into this, people think if you're successful, you somehow had a golden spoon.
Yes.
And you've lived your life and everything's going your way, and you know this
unfair.
You haven't faced the struggles they have, so you don't really get it. But you hear this time and time again, and it sounds like this was your last shot. You had to win money to keep going, or it was over. It was back to construction and a dream killed. Even Elon Musk, I've heard him talk about it. They had so many failures with their Falcon rocket to begin with. They literally was down to their last engines. And this one had to fly for them to be able to finance more, or it was all over. And they had a successful launch after many failures. And now here we are 250 launches later, and they've operated like clockwork. So that was kind of his make or break moment on a different scale, obviously.
Yeah. But
so many people, we hear this running theme. Yeah. So many people were at that point that their life was going to take a left or right hand turn, depending on what happened with a test or a match or a competition. And it went in the right direction, and they continued on to great things like you have. So I hope people, and it's not just fishing, but it's really anything, are encouraged by that to know that it doesn't – just because you're struggling does not mean you're not on the right path.
You got to take chances. You got to take chances and go with your gut, you know. And I've always heard this, you know. There's people that never take the chance and they regret it, you know, and I wanted to make that – jump, you know.
Well, I want to ask you this question because to Bubba's point, and I can't remember the actor's name that plays Jim on The Office. What was that this actor's name? Yeah. He does all kinds of stuff now.
What's his name?
Whatever his name is. But so I saw him talking about just what Bubba was talking about, and I want to ask you this specific question.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to try to be an actor, and it went nowhere. And so he said, I was literally to the point that I was coming home. It's over. It didn't work. I'm coming home.
You hear that so many times.
I know. And he said, I got on the phone with my mom. I don't want to ask you about your parents. He got on the phone with his mom, and his mom said the following statement, which I thought was really wise.
Jim Halpert.
That's his character in The Office. But the actor's name.
Oh, that's not his real name?
Yeah, it's not.
John
Krasinski.
Krasinski.
So, and I want to ask you about your parents, because I know that I went through this wanting to get into radio, and I had a job with UPS as a preloader, so entry level. Mm-hmm. And I remember my parents be concerned. They're going, you're leaving good benefits, a way to move up in a company, a well-established company, to chase this radio thing. Mm-hmm. Well, John was talking about this, the actor, and I thought this was very wise. His mother said, stay another week, because let me tell you what I'm not going to be. I am not going to be the parent that told you to come home. So you're trying to get me to do that, and then the rest of your life, you'll say that something could have happened, and we, your parents, stopped it.
Yep.
So she said, stay another week. I, as your mother, say, don't come home, because I want you to exhaust every effort so you won't blame us for telling you to come home.
Right.
And he gets the office. He gets that gig on that show. He gets it in the next 4 days. So, and then the rest, as they say, is history. Where were your parents on, I want to be a professional fisherman?
So my mom was being a great mother. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And after I had did this and tried it and tried it and tried it, and I went broke, and then after that I got that construction job, and I had my feet underneath me, mm-hmm. you know, and it was a real pivotal moment where you take the guarantee over the risk. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let me risk it all.
I know.
And then after
there you are doing all in again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she was being a good mother during the whole time. And then she honestly told me, she said, maybe you need to take a step back. Maybe you need to take a step back, and this might be your path, you know, that you need to do. And I told her, I straight up told her, I said, hey, this ain't it. I knew deep down. Like, I just, it was never a plan B, C, D. It was not one for me.
Right.
I said, I'm either going to do this or I'm going to die trying.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, and I was just intrinsically motivated to go out and fish and try to do this. That's all I've ever dreamed about. So my mom, she was all in. She was supportive, but she wanted what's best for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it wouldn't click.
Well, she worries about you.
That's it. If it wouldn't clicking at the time, you know, she was like, hey, you need to step back. Maybe you needed to go work some more. Maybe you need to do this. And I said, no, Mom, it's time. You know, and then I went and I won that tournament. She came up to me crying. She said, I know you can do it. And I said, I knew you knew I could. You just didn't know when.
Well, so
timing is everything.
So you win. So now what happens next? I'm not familiar with how it happens in compared to other sports and other things you can do as a profession and the entertainment business even. So you've won a tournament. Is that some big step as far as how the industry sees you? Does that here come more sponsors? Does it smooth the track at all?
The journey just began then.
Oh, okay.
Like you just got training wheels in. You just now hopping on the ride.
Okay.
So I had to go and fish three more opens. I won an open, and then I had just enough money to go pay for all three. So then you had to finish top five in the opens, and then you qualify to fish professional.
Okay. So you basically was running a pyramid scheme for yourself, basically moving forward.
It was a big Ponzi scheme,
right? Yeah.
Yep. So then the next season, I've had enough money. I qualified to fish the Elite Series, which is the pro that Kevin Van Dam where he fished.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So then guess what? I get thrown with $52,300 of entry fees.
Hey.
And I have zero sponsors.
So you don't even have any.
I don't have none.
How do you go about getting those sponsors? Do they help you do that? Do they funnel people to you, or do you have to do that all on your own?
That's all on your own. You know, it's all about networking and talking to people and just trying to
grip it and grinning.
Do you end up like with an agent that handles that?
I don't have one currently at all.
Really? So all these sponsors, you have to call them and work the deal out?
I work everything out, and I have deliverables for them, and we try to move product every way we can, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. But during that time when I qualified, I got thrown to $52,000 plus your expenses. And when you're traveling from Florida to North Carolina to South Texas, New York,
hotels,
you're
gas.
Really back in the same boat you were, right? You got to win.
Pun intended.
Something.
You have to win to push it all in. It's either you win or you stay there a year or two, and then you go bankrupt. And then it's like, hey, man, good job. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like NASCAR where I can be very, very wealthy just finishing. In the money, because the tournaments, if you're not winning, the other money either isn't there or isn't very much.
It isn't that. If you can cut checks, but a check in our sport right now, even to this day, if you cut a check, it's 10 grand. Sounds great. But our entry fees are $5,700 per tournament. And then your expense is $2,000. And then
so you're not going to make money not winning.
That's if you really, really cut corners and watch it.
It's tough. I mean, I can think of a lot more things I can do and stay gone 6 months out of the year and go make $3,000.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. It's cutthroat. It is.
Well, when you're learning the sponsorship stuff, like you said, you've got certain things that they want you to meet. How, like with us, you know, we do a national commercial, and we put a code on there. And if you put the code in, then that sponsor knows if you can get somebody to do that. Sometimes you got people buying off the show, but they just won't do what you
need
them to do.
It's hard to do that.
Yeah, and so, but how do they trace that?
So they'll see the needle move. You know, for example, right. Like we won a tournament, this tournament, for example, mm-hmm. I won it on a bait. It was a Rapala Crust City bait, and it's called a Mooch Minnow. And I was going to bring some. I may have some in my truck.
Thanks. I wish you just never brought it up if you didn't have them.
Yeah.
You know, that way we
don't let us play with it if we're possibly could stick it in our finger.
I'm about to go to a golf tournament that's only 10 minutes from my farm, so I'd rather not know you had them.
Okay.
Are you
going to bring them? We'll talk about that farm in a little bit. I may have to buy you some lunch or something.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
But you know, and they'll see us move. They'll notice movement in those products after we win a tournament or we make a YouTube video or something, and it's all about just trying to push that and then be just a good representative for them. You know, we run logos, space, and all that stuff, but it's honestly a relationship with them. You know, I have one with, like, Dan Quinn. He's a pro staff manager at Rapala. He'll call me. He called me yesterday every single day. And he'll let me know, hey, man, we really need to concentrate on the DT6 side, or we need to concentrate on this. It's a business.
So he gives you the information.
He gives me all that information, and we do the best we can with it. And it's really similar to what you guys do.
Just in general terms, how long do you sign up with these guys? How long a deal do they give you?
I sign a contract for 3 years with my title sponsor, Rapala, and most of the time it's multi-year, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. It varies.
Yeah, Bass Pro, Triton boats. I've ran a Triton boat for the last 15 years.
Yeah, and all the things that you have, we'll come back and we'll jump more into that. I want to talk about, you know, so many times you hear this with all these ways to make a living. You have to do the stuff that produces the income, or you can't keep doing this because you can't take care of your family and your family's growing. But where's that line where all of a sudden you go, okay, the purity of all this, I got to keep the reason why I always love that. We'll talk more about that and still do the job when we come back on Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Ladder, ladder, ladder. Life insurance is not fun to talk about.
No, it isn't. Who wants to talk about that?
Nobody wants to talk about it. But let me tell you something. You will have wished you talked about it if you go on in and you now got family going, hey, what are we going to do if you're the main breadwinner? So why don't you make sure that your loved ones are taken care of and just get simple term life insurance? That's really going to make the biggest impact anyway. I mean, I've seen this with my mother. You know, my dad passed away in December, and watching what would have happened if they did not have life insurance. So right now, Ladder is wanting you to know they're 100% digital. There's no doctors. There's no needles. There's no paperwork. If you apply for $3 million or less, Okay. You thought that was going to be, $3 million or less, you don't have to fool with doctors, needles, or paperwork. So they're being rated right now by customers that are already using them. 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. They made Forbes' best life insurance list. You just need a few minutes. You need a phone, laptop to apply. And then Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. This is really, really simplified. Do it now, because the older you get, listen to your buddies, Rick and Bubba, the older you get, the more it's going to cost. Ladderlife.com/Rick Bubba. That's LadderLife.com/Rick Bubba. Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Dustin Connell, our guest. He is a professional fisherman. Just won the Red Crest 2024 just a little while ago. Has
living the dream.
Living the dream. Has welcomed his son Trent to the world back on the 8th of April. So we're discussing the process of professional fishing.
Talk to us a little bit about your wife, because I know family plays into this, about her and how y'all met and how long y'all been married now.
We've been married for, this year will be 5 years.
Mm.
And then we just had our little baby boy,
congratulations.
It was April 8th, yeah, just so you
April
know.
April 8th, yeah. I got to keep that. I remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you want to hang on to that.
Put that in your phone.
I'm pretty tired right now.
I bet you are. How about that? Congratulations to you.
But it takes a team effort, and you're on the road a lot. How does that play at home?
I stay gone probably 6 months out of the year. I really do. And it's a lot on her, you know.
Yeah.
But she's very supportive of me. And, you know, when I get home, it's still busy. Life doesn't end, you know. I'm always got to be cutting grass and cleaning up and all that. But she supports me. She knows that, hey, this is my job, my profession. We ain't out there just playing around, just casting bobbers out there, you know. So, right. But she's super supportive. And
so when you come home after winning and you've got a big check and you're living the dream and you have to cut grass, do you think, well, hey, I'm cutting the grass. What am I doing?
Well, after I won that tournament, I came home, and I think she put me to work out there in the flower beds because she was getting ready for a baby.
Oh, yeah. Right. Nesting.
Nesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know it
That's
was
a real thing.
It's real.
And it doesn't quit.
Yeah.
It continues.
And so I was doing
Watch
all
Pinterest.
That. And I told her, she was wanting me to clean the house up, and I said, look, it's a beautiful day. It's 80 degrees. Can I go outside and do something? Mm. I said, can we? Like, I'll give you like $100 to get somebody to help us clean the inside. I want to go. I'm an outside guy.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'm out there cleaning my boat and doing all that. But, yeah, I love doing all the honeydews.
Well, it doesn't matter the way we love them. You're going
to
do them.
Yeah.
That's it. You got to.
And I do think that.
That was kind of a strange spin to put on the end of that.
Yeah.
Because it didn't sound like you were enjoying it that much.
That's right. That's right.
Well, when you come through that door, and it's, by the way, this is about to elevate. Because when the kids were little, that's a lot of work. And so when you come through the door, even though this is your profession, there's always going to be the expectation, which we take that responsibility, that now daddy's home, my husband's home, so some of this now is going to be on him, rightfully so, no matter how hard the fishing was. What I want to know, has it gotten to the point that she's so all in when you come home without a check?
She's good.
is she like, hey, what happened? You couldn't catch any fish? I mean, has you had any of that yet?
I've seen those times, too. I promise you I have. It's like, oh, man, I've been gone for 3 weeks, and I didn't come home with a big check or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, I've learned that doing this. You'll notice your real support. It's through your losses and your wins.
Yeah.
They're there for you.
So, Dustin, let me ask you another question. We're kind of jumping around at various aspects of being a professional fisherman. I look at the 5 years you've competed in the Red Crest. Of course, you won it 2021. But the number of fish that you caught, 29, 25, 31, 25, and then this year, 71.
Mm-hmm.
What was the difference? Was everybody catching more fish? Was it just more difficult conditions? That's three times the number of fish you've caught in four previous tournaments.
I won that tournament by 30 pounds, you know, in the Major League Fishing format.
I mean, is that like a 10-run rule in baseball? I mean, that's going away, isn't it?
Like, it was ball game at the end of the second period, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to get kind of deep real quick.
Go ahead.
I've seen things happen on the water that a lot of people don't notice. That tournament that was at Alabama River, you notice things that ain't really kind of supposed to happen.
Like,
it wasn't going to rain at all. And I love fishing current below these dams and stuff. I love catching spotted bass. That's what I love doing. And it wasn't going to rain. They wouldn't run any water that week during that open. And I don't know where. I checked the weather, and it's like, it's going to flood on Tuesday and Wednesday. And the tournament was Thursday.
Mm.
And I was like, where did this rain come from?
Mm.
And it was like the good Lord above said, hey, you really need this.
Because
you've been struggling bad.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, rain showed up, and it was great. Well, that week at Lay Lake, I mean, I was torn between going up river and down river, and I was just starting to spin out a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt confident about it.
Analysis paralysis.
And this was like a life-changing tournament for me. And I'm like, I'm going to have to find something early. I need to find something early to win this tournament because I can't win on solely what I got. I rolled up in Lacusa over there, right up from the Narrows, if anybody's familiar with that. I know a lot of people haven't been on Lay, but
I've never really caught them as good as I've ever seen them in this bay. And it was like they just flooded in there. Mm. There was boats in there all week.
Mm.
I seen 20 different boats fishing this area all week, and I roll in there, and I'm the only boat in sight. And the fish just went, shoo, and it was a collision.
Are you saying the Lord moved the fish your way?
I ain't saying he did that. I'm just saying now I ain't seen them flood in there that quick.
After not catching anything, did he tell you to try the other side of the boat one right. more time?
Well, I'm he's on record that he's if done he decides to bring the fish in, he can.
Look, we can say a lot of things about Jesus, okay? Right. He was into fishermen.
Right.
And he knew the sport.
Yes. Well, and he seemed to be able to move them fish wherever he wanted to.
And he caught them even without a rod and reel at times.
Something was telling me to roll in there, and I said, let me go in here and check it. And it was just like, it happened. Mm-hmm. They showed up. They showed up out of nowhere on the right day.
Mm. So when you talked about the other boats, I know Major League Fishing, and Bubba and I personally like this format. I think, don't you?
I like watching it. It's a lot more fun to me as far as viewing.
Yeah.
It is.
Do you guys like it?
I enjoy it. You know, if you've never fished that format before, let me rewind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up fishing for five fish. Right. I grew up fishing, weighing in five. We put them in a basket and
old school, baby.
Let them go.
Yeah,
you know,
we've all been in those.
And I love that. But you know, Major League Fishing came out with the Bass Pro Tour and that format as far as catch all you can over 2 pounds. And man, I'm telling you, when you fish that and you see that score tracker going, and you know you need to catch one, it's intense.
Well, how about that feature? How about having the feedback to know where you're at,
man,
and having a judge or referee on the what's the proper term? Is it referee?
The official.
Official.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the boat with you. How weird is that? Or good? Do you like it? Do you talk to them much or not really?
I've had some that kind of talk a lot.
And too much? A little chatty?
Things get kind of weird when you got to use the bathroom out in the middle of the lake.
Oh.
It gets kind of awkward for a minute, but then we become friends.
Right. Well, I bet after that you do.
Yeah, we know each other.
Sure. So, but Bubba and I'm talking about, you said that I'd seen boats there all during the tournament and all during the week. What's the protocol? I mean, is there, you know, like baseball's got a million unwritten rules. I mean, is it like that? Hey, man, you don't do that. Is that the rules? It's not officially the rules. You just don't do that. What are some of those things?
There's like bunt when you're way ahead.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of ethics in fishing.
Oh, yeah.
That the unwritten rules, you know. I mean, it's the same way with deer hunting. I said this before. If you're in a hunting club, don't let nobody see them game camera pictures, because there might be a corn pile right beside yours.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, hey, you don't really do that. But as far as fishing, you know, the old bent rod pattern, somebody sees you catch one, they're going to slowly ease that way.
Oh, yeah. When you see
is that
a
bad
rod
form?
Bent.
Is that bad form?
That's a bad look. Sometimes it happens, though, you know.
See, I was raised two generations of brilliant fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaddy and my daddy, brilliant fishermen.
Oh, I've heard.
Yeah. And I remember the first time as a little boy being with my granddaddy, and we were all in them. So we go down to the little shop is there used to have, you know, all those little feed stores
that. The bait place.
We go walking in, and I always call my granddaddy Shorty because he was tall. Shorty, y'all catching any fish today?
Nah. He wasn't going to tell you anyway.
Y'all get into them? Nah. And then I was like, and I messed up, and I said, Papa, I thought we were catching all kinds of fish. He said, really? Where y'all at? Clevengers. And I was like, what, nowhere near Clevengers? I mean, he wouldn't tell people where he fished for anything.
You got to be
imagine if a check was on the line.
So that's now it's real.
Yeah, sometimes, and I'm going to let some of my secrets out. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to, but sometimes, like when we go lines in, I'll go and hide behind a little pocket, like behind a tree or something. Mm-hmm. Just I don't want everybody seeing where we're at. You know, I'm just trying to be.
Can you go wherever you want to?
Anywhere on the lake.
Okay.
We're familiar with that. Kind of like when we see the blue lights of State Trooper, we sometimes we'll
just
pull in to take
off.
Decide to take a break right there.
Right.
Just you know, for a minute. Not that we're running.
No,
but just
we're not
that
running.
We felt like it was a good time to recalculate and get a refocus.
Yeah. We're not running.
No.
So there is all kinds of protocol like that.
There isn't any rules.
But you don't have to do that. I could fish right on top of you.
100%.
Of course,
there
you
isn't.
Would y'all fight like NASCAR or something like that happen?
It gets intense at times. Yeah.
Y'all get to rubbing boats out there?
Yeah, I've wanted to run mine through somebody's boat, you know.
Okay.
But I haven't. But you know, for the most part, everybody's out there. We're all just
really good buddies. Every now and then it gets intense. It's just like any other sport.
Sure. Yeah, you won't be competitive.
Hey, but when it's over, it's over. Hey, we fishing for money.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll come back. We'll finish our podcast with Dustin Connell when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues right after this.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Dustin Connell is our guest. Major League Fishing and just professional fisherman, period. We've been talking to him about his life trying to get into professional fishing. He's been very successful. And we've got a few more minutes with him to continue to talk about a couple other things on the table.
Dustin, I love when, and I've watched, and like you've got two or three guys that are in the lead, and you know the official will say, so and so just caught a fish. He's now at so many pounds. And buddy, it's like the cat. I mean, I love how it's online, real time, and you get to see that interaction. You know, as they cut back and forth between. But so you have an official and a video guy on there, right?
I do. So if you're doing good in tournament, they'll have a cameraman in there, and then you'll have your official, and they'll give you all the updates. And what they want to do in Major League Fishing was every sport, you know the score. You know the score.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Yeah, you know where you stand. When you go
know
to bat,
where you stand. Know, yeah. In bowling, you name it. So fishing all these years, it's like, hey, catch as much as you can. But now we know the score. We know what everyone has, and you can make decisions based off of that.
That was a lot of technology to add to a bass boat. I thought, I mean, that was a major step forward to have that telemetry, to have the referee. I still don't know how they're getting that signal back.
Well, they have a stat unit on the back of the boat that has like Wi-Fi, and you know, and it's been a transition. Yeah. You know, it isn't old traditional fishing.
So now you got three people got to pee.
100%.
I mean, or do the cameraman like ever drop a battery and you think, hey, thanks. Hey, you thanks. Just run off every fish out here.
Oh, well, yeah, I tell them.
Quit moving around.
If you're sight fishing and you need everybody to be quiet, like, I tell them, listen, be real quiet. Don't be moving around a bunch, beating and banging around.
And then a battery in the bottom of the boat.
Oh, my gosh. But one of the worst things.
Resonates through the water down to the bottom.
I've had the cameraman do this one time, actually several. He'll be right there on you, and you'll be fighting a big fish in, and I've got my rod up here high.
Hey, come on now. I got to get him in the boat.
My rod will get hung on his camera, and I'm like, I'm on your camera. And I've seen really bad things happen if that camera gets hung
on the
line. If somebody will lose a fish, it may cost them a tournament. It's like, oh, so you got to do a little traffic control in the boat.
Yeah. Dustin, so the captain's still in charge. I mean, that's usually how it goes with any boat. Have you had many penalties assessed in your career?
I led the most penalties the first year I led them. Because if you let a fish fall on the boat deck, it's a two-minute penalty. If you, if you throw them above the gunrail back in there, and they have all these little different penalties. But I got to where I would swing the fish in. I'm just so used to reeling them in and just boat flipping them, and they come off in the floor, and I'd be sitting there for 2 minutes. I added all the penalties up.
Does that really hurt the fish that much? I mean,
who's asked the fish about it?
I don't know.
They can't even reason.
They can't reason.
Right. But here's the good news. It is catch, measure, and release. So, you know, they're going back where they were.
That's it.
You
we're know, not carrying not, them around.
They're
it's
not
good
being disturbed and hauled out and back and all that, which has to be stressful to some degree, right?
It is. Yeah, and we have a 0% mortality rate, you know, and we're not – no fish die on our part, you know, and if they're on bed and we catch them, we let them go and they go right back.
If they do have to swim – is that what you're saying, that the official will watch to be sure they swim away? I mean, they don't go belly up on you or something?
Yeah, I've never had one. Now, if you
– Easy, don't say
it could,
like
I mean,
this.
It could happen. Don't it's say, not
things,
impossible.
Don't say things like this. Right, yeah. The next one, I'm going to have a 5 pounder.
You'll have one. You'll have one swallow. You know what I mean? You'll be in a bind. Don't do that.
We'll get Gary to fillet him up.
Right.
Hey, I can do it.
So when you're talking about the joy of fishing, and now you're a pro, and all this stuff. I mean, you got your YouTube channel, you got your sponsors. Do you find yourself now saying, "All right, this particular fish, I need to be sure I can get a good picture of this." Is the marketing ever collide with the joy of fishing?
Yeah.
Have you learned to balance those two? Because, you know, even Bubba and I have been drug into this whole social media world, kicking and, and screaming, but it matters. I mean, it matters. People want content. They want to see something new. They want you to keep in touch with them. And this leads to benefiting sponsors and growing your audience. It's part of it now.
It is. And I've had that question a lot. Does it ever get old? Mm-hmm. Or does it ever turn
well,
into
yeah,
a job?
Well, these things, yeah. Because you have to.
Does it become work?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does. And I never felt that way until last year. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of things going on personally around our family. We were trying to have a baby, and it wasn't working. We did IVF. We did everything possible, and then just life.
Yeah.
Well, when you're on the road 6 months out of the year and life is going on and you're out there and you ain't getting no bites, man, it stinks.
Yeah.
And it's just tough. Yeah. So, and then on top of that, you got the pressures of performing for your family. You have to perform and try to make money. You have to perform for your sponsors, get content. We do YouTube, Brett, he helps me out with YouTube. And it's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
It really, really is. And then, the passion of fishing that I have, it is to the core. I mean, I absolutely love it. I want to go so bad, but I can't because I got a little baby boy crying.
Right. And I noticed you like to, I know we only got about 3 minutes. You like the deer hunt too. I know.
Turkey hunt? You like all that?
I don't know how.
I shot one about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I guess you saw the one I told Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
But my first
one. Have you ever seen the 2-inch car tag?
I have several times.
Unbelievable story. Yeah. People still laugh at that.
I asked them if that was available, and they said, "Yeah, sure, it is."
But what I'm saying
it
is,
hit me like a ton of bricks. What have I done?
Yeah,
I'll never forget that line.
Right.
All them truckers kept honking at me.
But anyway, I remember I was so obsessed at one time with deer hunting, and I will admit it, totally obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wanting to do it so much that I almost couldn't even remotely ask my wife. I want you to know I'm going to hit the door a lot for turkey hunting too, and I'm going to hit the – you have to fish for a living.
That's it.
You like to fish every now and then for fun, okay? And then can you – you now have a baby, by the way, so it's going to change. And that's good. It's good. But going in there and asking again, hey, honey, I'm on deer hunt too, and I'm on turkey hunt. Ooh. I mean, those are
– it gets sticky.
Yeah.
I got a feeling it's going to be that way. So I got a lease in Illinois. I know we don't have much time, but I go hunting.
So you're going to not only go hunt, you're going to go on the road to hunt, which is more days.
Right, yeah.
I wish they had some big deer there. I told her, I
you could go to Rick's and hunt. Most everybody else does down there.
So I'm going to go there in December, November, and I go bow hunting there, and then it's just my time. But it's a balance thing, So you got to be very careful.
I was almost
that balance is going to change.
Oh yeah, I was just almost afraid to take on another hunting season. I was just like, look, I it's hard enough for me to get deer hunting.
Well, you want to go all in on one or two things, and it's if I can't go all in, I just kind of dabbling with it. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. Well, I finally, now that I'm empty nester, I turkey hunted for the first time, and I can see the draw. I can see how people get excited about.
Oh, I'm on the water all the time, and they're just blowing the woods down. Mm. And there's Alabama Powerland all around me. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you can hear him.
You got to put in earplugs,
mm-hmm.
Well,
maybe we can spend some time down at the farm. You can show me a few tips, because I remember my daddy, I can hear it loud and clear. I had the same lure, same setup, same everything, throw in the same spot. I would not catch a fish. He would. And he would just be reeling that fish and say, presentation, son.
You got to wiggle the purple worm.
Yeah, you got to know how to work that purple worm.
100%.
You can't just throw a purple.
Now, what was that lure you said you had you didn't bring in?
Oh, it's a Crust City Mooch Minnow. I've got
Mooch
some.
Minnow.
I think I can get some out of the truck. Maybe.
Okay.
If not, I've got some
Mooch
other
Minnow.
Yeah.
Dustin Connell, you can find him on his YouTube channel, and of course he's got all kinds of social media out there. Be sure and look for him and follow him along. Thanks for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. We enjoyed it, and we want to have you on again. This is very interesting, and a lot of people are interested in this.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fun deal. Not many people know about it, but I'm just glad to be up here and hang out with y'all.
Where's the best channel to see the videos of all this
stuff? So we do YouTube, DC Fishing. That's our YouTube.
Okay.
And we're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers. We have like 80. What do we got?
But from Major League Fishing, where I watch it, but I don't know what channel.
Major League Fishing is MLF.com. They have the next tournament is in Oklahoma at Lake Eufaula. And then we go all the way until September this year. We end up in New York.
Wow.
So we're going all over, and it's just getting started.
Well, that's great. Thanks.
Well, good luck to you, bro.
Yeah, thanks for being with us, and thanks to all of you for joining us on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.